Welcome to Local Matters, where I am in the studio with Rick Jones, and this is Rick Jones Part 2, and if you go back and look at our StoneCom website, you can find the podcast of my previous chat with Rick. And Rick's a favorite guy of mine and a fellow enthusiast about all things local, and our local means Cookeville, Tennessee, which is my original hometown, where I now have a home and call it my primary residence for at least the next year. And Rick is one of those guys who just comes up with an idea, throws some light on it, and makes it happen. I always talk about the old movies with Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland where, hey, I've got a barn, let's put on a show. You know, that enthusiasm, and nothing seems to stop you, right? You just get this thing, this idea, along with your son who helped create all of this space. And there's a complex of spaces. When I say complex, wonderful complex of spaces that you can enter by going to our courthouse square, and you walk into Jones Antiques, and above which is the Bitter Inn, this event space. Jones Antiques is this amazing antique store, and you go down into the basement, and there are more antiques, and most of those militia-related and are very, very history-making, if you will. And then from there, you create events and bring people together in ways that are amazing. And that includes, as we talked about on one of our previous episodes, a singer-songwriter night that you've been planning for some time.
Yes.
And that's happening for those that live here locally this Saturday, March the 7th. And singer-songwriter night, right?
Correct.
Tell us all about it.
Okay, the singer-songwriter night is we're wanting to put something together where we can encourage local people that do some songwriting and perform. We want to get an open mic going to where they'll have a venue to come into and be able to present their craft.
You had originally planned this for March the 14th, but lucky for us, it's going to happen sooner. And I'm very excited about it because it's coming up very soon on March the 7th, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And there's a young lady that came in and bought tickets, and I'd like to get the word out to her because I didn't get her phone number. Her name is Melissa William McDonald. And she's got tickets for the 14th, and if she's out there or you or anyone knows her, get the word to her that it's the 7th, not the 14th.
Well, that's great. We can help spread the word that way and bring people together. We will hope for the best on that one because it's just going to be more people coming together to hear this amazing array of talent that include yourself. Am I right? You as the host are also going to be performing.
That's correct. I'll do some several original songs. I'll do probably a couple of cover songs, and the rest of it will be original stuff that I've written. And then our oldest son, Brandon, he's got a little band called Jonesin, and they'll be on hand to do some rock and roll and some of the things that we grew up with, and I think the people will really get a kick out of what they have to present. And then David will be there to do some socially acceptable rap. He's my rapping son. He's my young son, and he raps and he does it freestyle.
Yes.
And like I said, it's his mama won't let him cuss on stage. It's socially acceptable. So I think they'll have a lot of fun. And David's technique is he will kind of make himself in the crowd. He'll work among the crowd, and he'll find out a little about you or one person or another. And then he incorporates that into the rap when he does it. And it makes it personal. And it makes people really enjoy, the evening because they've come to something that involved them.
Yeah. And I think in a way, whether he's conscious of it or not, and I think he is at least on a subconscious level, he's humorous in his own way. And that's great. And that's an original idea to, when taught acting, one of the things that I learned was it's easier to play vice than virtue. And so there he is being very virtuous with his rap and bringing a smile to people's faces. And we get to laugh at him and with him, and he gets to laugh at us.
Oh, yeah.
And that's great, And so it's just a diverse array of things, musically speaking. And, and I think the term you use is we're going to be playing some of the older music.
Correct.
That was the word?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, see, you, like I, don't have any interest in going back and living in a previous era, but the fact of the matter is you're bringing music from a previous era into the present. And we're talking again with Rick Jones here on Local Matters. And, there's a quote of yours that I've always thought is kind of great, and it's a simple one. And the quote is simply regarding country music, that country music used to tell a story.
That's correct. When I started writing some years ago, I drew from my heroes, the Johnny Cashes, the Waylon Jennings, the Jimmy Rogers, the Carter family, all those folks. When you go back to the grassroots of country music, it started around just after the turn of the century, and it really became popular in the 20s. And when you go back and listen to these songs, they all seem to have a story. They make sense. It's not just a matter of rhyming words. It's telling a story as you do the song. And that's what I try to do. And the things that I write, everything I write has a story in it. And they can come from, for example, my granddaughter crawled up in my lap one day and said she had a boo-boo on her knee.
Aww.
And so I wrote Papa and JoJo, and it started with a boo-boo on her knee.
Right.
And, I went through that song, and it always gets a lot of claps out of the crowd when I do that song, and they seem to really like it. But
wow.
To me, that's what songwriting is all about. You've got so many people now are engaged in it's so commercial now. You've got folks that go into a room somewhere and write for 8 hours a day. And what they're doing is rhyming words. The songs don't necessarily have to tell a story. Just as long as they get the words to rhyme, it's about a truck, it's about the bed of a truck, it's about a six pack, and what it ends up being in my terms is tractor rap. That's kind of what I call it. But I'd like to see it go back to people that are writing stuff that tells a story and makes sense and tells about, real life.
You and I are saying the same thing, but as I said, I'd like it brought forward, and you are doing that. And the fact of the matter is, I'm going to ask, if it's not too personal, a question, how old are you?
74.
At 74, you're doing what a lot of young musicians are just now picking up
on. And I'll soon be 74.
You'll soon be 74, and some of these guys will soon be 18, 19, and 20, and they're going back to discover the music and bring it forward. And in a way, I'm seeing it as I'm watching live music now as a sort of a trend, roots music. And you mentioned the roots of country music is sort of first appearing in the early 20th century, but all music as we know it today, and especially rock and roll, most people will go back and say the birth of rock and roll came about with Elvis Presley, and it did. But Elvis Presley's music was based on a lot of music that people don't realize. They'd have to do a little research in history where, honestly, church and gospel and hymn-based music
Absolutely.
Is where a lot of this music came from.
Absolutely.
And then those, the modern version of those, by the mid-20th century came, those originated now in what we call a spiritual. So we go back to African American roots to discover that this would morph as the years would go on, and people would refer back to it in a way that they were able to bring it forward and create something new by telling, a story. And, when it comes to gospel music, for example, or church-based music, Elvis Presley. So while most of us will call him the king of rock and roll, and I think only Little Richard was a little upset because at the same time he was on his way to being that, but, that's how music goes. A particular star shines brighter than the other for reasons that we don't know. But Elvis, on his fifth studio album, shortly into his career in 1960, had an album released called His Hand in Mine. And that was one of two albums that he would record that had music that was based on his experience growing up in the church.
Beautiful song.
All along, rock and roll and music as we know today has been imparting a passion, and that passion originated in our hearts and based on spiritual music of years and years ago. And I just find that kind of wonderful and astounding that it's still alive today.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually going back, and that's what Elvis did. Elvis went back, picked up these things, brought them forward. Rolling Stones, as I've said, were the greatest purveyor of early American-based blues music in the world, and they just happen to be from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Several bands from the UK brought us our music from a previous era and reminded us it's still great and we can turn it into something new. So that rock and roll revolution was based on the fact that the Brits were watching us and listening to our older music and going, how about we do that?
Yep.
And they also were reacting to Elvis Presley and what he was doing. And
it's like we're going back to the future. When you look at the Carter family, Will the Circle Be Unbroken? When you listen to that song, the song is about, it deals with death as we know it here on earth, but it also talks about there's a better day awaiting.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think of the spiritualness that's in a song like that, we're going to pay our dues here on earth, and when that's all over, we've got something way better than this down the road in the future. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's such an amazing song after all these years, every verse in it. And I just saw a video performance of you doing at the church where you go. For our local listeners, they'll know it's Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and this local broadcast becomes a worldwide podcast, so we're talking to several people outside of the community and letting them know that we have this wonderful town with a wonderful complexity of you know, business and churches and culture in a way that I feel like all towns have to have a balance of in order to thrive, you know. And
correct. So, now, you can catch that video if you go to Jones Antiques. I think Karen uploaded that. Someone in the crowd in the congregation happened to take their phone and film that, and it's on. If you go into our Jones Antiques, you'll see the video.
That's great. You know, and that's great that you recorded it again for people to hear that might not have heard it before. And when you go back in time, that song has been recorded so many times, and I was aware of it from my childhood days. I grew up in a church in town, but my grandparents were from the country, and we would very often go out to the country churches that they grew up in. They each grew up in separate churches on a regular basis, and I would hear this music that I wasn't aware of existed in my church in town. So we had to go a little back, if you will, and into the country to hear this stuff, and it was astounding. And one of the best recordings ever, in my opinion, of it that brought me back to it. I just suddenly remembered what a great song it is. It was when either Aaron Neville or the Neville brothers, and I wish I knew that for a fact.
Yes.
That version is just,
beautiful,
you know.
By the way, the young lady that's singing with me, that's Dr. Paige Gern. And I've told Paige many times, I said, you know, she is absolutely, she's like singing with an angel. She's got the most beautiful voice I think I've ever heard.
That's exactly what I heard, you know, and I saw that and felt that, just felt it watching a video of it. So we're in local matters and we're listening to somebody great, Rick Jones, but we have somebody else that we'd love to listen to. And those are our sponsors that make this program possible. So we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters, where we're talking with the dude, Rick Jones. And I say the dude, you're one of many dudes who is a forward-thinking guy who brings people together. You're a civic supporter here in our town of Cookeville, Tennessee, my hometown. And when I met you first, I just thought this is one of those great like-minded guys. And you know, you just have a complexity of things going on, all of which are wonderful that we want to see. And you had mentioned earlier that you think there's a video of you performing Will the Circle Be Unbroken on Jones Antiques page, and whether it is or not, and we can find it, it'll probably wind. Let's hope it's a viral sensation, right? So, but in the meantime, when you wander into the building itself or the Facebook page that's related to Jones Antiques, you enter a space that leads you to a space that leads you to a space. And so you have this ever expanding mind. You know, your son started this with his ever expanding idea. And
yes.
And interesting enough, you know, he's down in the basement, the guy with this amazing collection of military based antiques, you know, that really are teaching us history in a wonderful way. And you're upstairs and you're the face that people see when they walk in, but they from there can go to describe the other spaces associated with that sprung up around Jones Antiques based on what you guys built.
Well, first off, when I retired from corporate America, I told David I'm not a couch potato. I've got to be busy. So we bought the what they call the old Boyd building there on the square. It was the home of Boyd Drug Store, the Economy Auto Store, and Stamps Jewelry Store, which was later Laverne and Janet. We went to work on the old building, and David has primarily been the creative mind behind all this. He's just creative.
That's all I can say.
Yeah. Extremely creative. And we started out just putting an antique store in the old drugstore portion of the building. And then we went and we expanded that up into what we call the Bitter End now. And I was a part of the Bitter End when it started. So I was cleaning up downstairs and swept some trash up on the back of a piece of chipboard. And when I flipped it over, It had 4th of July dance, the bitter end.
No kidding. Wait, I had never heard the origin of how you discovered the name, you know.
Yeah, that piece of cardboard was where Miss Boyd had put that in the window when we were having a 4th of July dance, and the bitter end was right behind our building. It was right across the street from Bobby Q's now. Okay. That's where it started.
Right.
Well, when I flipped that over and saw it, I just got cold chills. And when I showed it to David and Karen, they said, well, we got to name the upstairs the Bitter End. So the upstairs, it's 5,000 square feet. The dimensions are 50 by 100 feet. And it's just a wide open space. It was never used for anything but storage. There's just a lot of junk packed in there when we bought the building. So we cleared it all out and went to work on building out the Bitter End, and now I couldn't tell you how many parties we've hosted up there, and we've just advertised, and just been word of mouth, and people have just come out of the woodwork for us, and it's just been a great venture.
It's a dynamic space, and you know, when I had a party there a few years ago on a birthday one year, I decided to throw a thank you party instead of a birthday party, and do what I just have always urged myself to do at the urging of my Aunt Jean Evelyn Warren, who was my mom growing up, and various people in my family that said, you know, don't forget gratitude as you go along in life. And if you've got a negative moment in your life, look for what you have to be thankful for in that moment. And in other words, a difficult moment is actually a teaching moment. You get to learn something.
I got to tell a funny story here. Lewis came to me and said for his Aunt Jean, he said her favorite song in the world is a Tennessee Waltz. And I got to thinking about that, and as wheels get to turning, I went back to Lewis and I said, let's spoof her just a little.
Yeah.
I said, what I think I'll do is start Tennessee Whiskey.
Right.
And when we get into that, then I want you to stop me and say, no. I said Tennessee Waltz, not Tennessee Whiskey. So we played that out, and Miss Jean got a real kick out of it. But we ended up doing the Tennessee Waltz. And I got to tell you this, when we did the Tennessee Waltz, Miss Jean was in a wheelchair. Lewis was on his knees, spinning her around the floor. She was on the dance floor, and Lewis was on the dance floor, and they were having the time of their lives.
Yeah, we were.
Dancing to the Tennessee Waltz. And that was I'll never forget that. There's some things.
I won't either.
You just never forget.
No, and my Aunt Jean would go on to pass away very near Thanksgiving, and she was a woman who ruled her life with an iron will, so to speak, but was such a empathetic, kind, generous person that you just didn't notice that there was an exact balance of both of those in her life. You know, forward moving, one step at a time.
Yeah.
If you try to get in my way, you'll get out of my way. But she would do it with empathy and kindness, and she never had a mean bone in her body that I can think of. And therefore, that was actually her, I think, subconscious choice to show up not just for the birthday party, but to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. She knew she was on her way out. And
I think so.
You know, when I look back on that and the passing of somebody that I love so dearly, I'm actually brought such joy and at such peace that she had her way until the end.
Absolutely.
You know? And so there we were having our last dance together and in that space that
you
you had for us. And it just turned out amazing altogether. Yeah. And again, you know, it's sort of like what was happening there was it's sort of a version of what we know as the variety shows, you know, the combination of comedy and music. And mm-hmm. and those are borrowed from minstrel shows and vaudeville. And very often, you know, a humor is born out of pain. And a lot of the humor that we know today is based on the fact that people were in ghettos, both African-Americans and Jewish people who were in their ghettos, that provided their front porch as the framework for a stage. And they would perform for each other and sing for each other and make each other happy. So Rick Jones, who I'm talking with in the studio today, just sort of inherited that gene, I think, and then consciously chose to work with that, and therefore you have this amazingly creative son, and the two of you along with Karen are this dynamic trio, if you will, you know, all together.
And
the great thing is it's a family business.
It's family, and
it's local,
and
it's a family business. You know, Rick was talking earlier about the various structures that he put these businesses into and brought us all together along the way. And for those that are not local, we're talking about right on our historic Courthouse Square, and our town, like many in the 70s, pushed away from its original shopping districts and expanded into the outskirts of town with things like malls that were placed near the interstate. And those were wonderful for a while, but they brought on the death of these historic districts. And you know, in small towns and big New York City and towns like Cookeville suddenly woke up and said, you know, what have we lost in the process?
Absolutely.
And as we've been talking, let's go back and bring that from the past into the future. And, you know, and I met you at a time that you, you've been working with a great organization that I love called Cityscape. And through Cityscape's efforts and through people like you coming together who believe in civic duty, here we are just all having a good time coming together.
That's the fun part about it. As a family, you know, Karen and David and I, and now, you know, Brandon's involved. He'll be playing at the show this this coming Saturday evening. David's vision for that old building has been we're a work in progress. Okay, we've got the Bitter End is open. Now we've got the Monkey Ranch. So the Bitter End, we can do up to parties of up to 200 there.
Right.
And in the Monkey Ranch, 50, 60 people there. And then we also, in the old Laverne and Janet Jewelry Store portion of the building, we have the Bitter Suite. And that's if you have like 15, 20 people that you want to have dinner, but you don't want to do it at your house.
Right.
Come to the Bitter Suite. All these are fully furnished. They're outfitted with tables, chairs, all the artwork on the walls and everything. So you can do a small dinner in the Bitter Suite. And then we've got next door, we have the Willow Tree Market is in the old Economy Auto Store, the Western Auto Store. So, and David's ultimate vision is to connect all of these to where you can go into any one of these and get to the other.
I think his vision
it's going to happen. I mean, he's a mover and shaker, and he will not stop until it happens.
Well, unless you're talking about knocking down walls between them, I think it's already happened. I mean, that's the whole thing that I feel like. When I go into Jones Antiques, then I want to pop in next door. Then I want to go upstairs and throw a party there and go down to the Monkey Wrench, which is this very cool, in a way, sort of urban style space in the basement. And it's on one of our only streets that resembles an alley at all, a two block street that happens to be behind the building. So it's got this great feeling of, you know, alley joints that people went to in big cities.
And we're going to be doing some, I guess, what you call a block party. We're going to be doing some of that in the near future
when
it warms up in that alley out back because we've talked to the city about you can get a permission to close the street for an evening. And it's kind of like when you're up in New York City and you go into Little Italy. It's a real party atmosphere. Yeah. They close that Mulberry Street. They close it down for the weekend.
Oh, sure.
And you got the lights hanging across overhead. Yeah. And it's just a party atmosphere. And we want to create that back on Staley Street and have those little parties back there. Maybe even have a car show or a motorcycle show or something like that with live music.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, that kind of thing is wonderful. And, you know, it's sort of like in all the years I've lived in New York City and Chicago, and I have a small, very small country home west of New York City that's about 10 miles from where Washington across the Delaware of about 525 people. The question I get asked constantly is, you know, and they use the term boy because it's that old term from years ago. Are you a country boy or a city boy? And my answer is always yes. So weirdly, I would say you define yourself as being a country boy at heart or from the country. Have you lived in bigger cities along the way?
Yes, we lived in Nashville for a while. We lived out on the West Coast for a while. You know, Dad, he was a tool and die maker, and he went where the work was.
Yeah.
So we left Tennessee and went out to California and San Diego, and then that was too far from home. So we came back and ended up in Nashville for a while for 2 or 3 years, and then he got a job up here at McCord's.
Yeah.
And that'll bring back some memories of some of these people when I say McCord's. But we moved up to Cookeville, and we moved here. It was 1960. And we moved here. I was a freshman in high school.
I had no idea.
I swore I was going to run away from home. I could not. We didn't have an interstate. I couldn't. It was just Hicktown, USA to me.
Yeah.
And then it evolved into home, and I wouldn't go anywhere
else. When you say Hicktown, you're referring to the town that you came to here, Cookeville, right?
Yeah.
I was the same way. I could not wait to get out of here.
Yeah.
And now I just am back and love this place. And realize, you know, it's just that, hey, I'm still a country boy or a city boy at heart. It's just depending on where I'm located. You know, you referred to what's known as the San Gennaro Street Festival that occurs, you know, annually in New York City. And it's a long, long-standing tradition. And I think that you're at the beginning phases and already out the gate in creating long-standing traditions, you know. And I love the idea of not only researching history, but making history, whether our names are remembered or not, to have an
That's
impact.
Not important.
And to have something that's carried forward into the future that somebody will say, what was that guy's name that I can't think him and his son and his mom used to, and therefore we have this now. So we could talk all day or a couple of days at a time with Rick Jones. We're on Local Matters, and we'll have Rick Jones back at some point. But check out, if they want to go to the show, check out
Absolutely.
Check out what online?
You can buy the tickets now at Jones Antiques.
So we've had a great time chatting, everybody. I hope to see some of you there this Saturday, March the 7th, for the singer-songwriter night at the Monkey Wrench underneath Jones Antiques. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.